right. Well, this is the Great Northern Radio Show, live from Eveleth, Minnesota. Thanks to the good folks of Eveleth for having us this fine night. You know, there's a lot going on around the Iron Range. We're home on the range, and it's time to talk about what's going on around here. First of all, hunting season is almost here. It's going on for the birds right now, but, you know, the deer hunting opener, rifle opener's coming. Really, this is the time of year where you realize this is the only reason that men on the Iron Range have cell phones with cameras. Because they need to take pictures, and you know, the pictures are never blurry because the deer in the pictures don't move. Iron Rangers are comfortable with hunting even if they don't hunt. I don't hunt, but as an animal lover, you lose your ability to sustain outrage over hunting when a deer cost you $2,000 to $5,000 every 2 to 5 years on your vehicle. That's really the strategic blunder that deer make every year. The winter's coming, the leaves are down, it's fall, it's, you know, we can call it fall, but we know winter's coming. There's still a few docks in the lake, though, and at this point, hell, why bother? Why bother getting them out if the ice carries your dock away? Maybe you fish the pieces out in the spring, nail them back together. Maybe you get a new dock. Who knows? Spring is a long way off, and you know, the Vikings are playing a little better these days, so that's what matters. There's the small matter of the election coming up. I guess there's been some news about that. I had cause to talk to some people from Sweden earlier this month. They couldn't believe that we would put yard signs out in our yards and on our roadsides telling which candidates we plan to vote for. They just said, well, in Sweden, you know, we just have elections and we just vote and we just see what happened. And I had to admit, that sounded pretty good. You know, in the old days on the Iron Range, the yard signs didn't mean who you were voting for. It just meant that you got a government contract from that particular candidate and you just put it up alongside where you worked. But that's, you know, things change over time. It's a big election, though, in all seriousness. If one side wins, we on the Iron Range will have 6 months of prosperity and a 2-year shutdown of the mines. If the other side wins, we'll have a year of prosperity and several 2-week shutdowns timed at market intervals. What side you're on has a lot to do with whether or not you like ice fishing. We like to argue here, though. You know, politics. We had 43 nations that came together to form the range we know today. There's some old feuds. Some are easier to resolve than others, though. You know, there was the one back in 1917, a blood feud. I guess axe murder counts as a blood feud. There was an unsolved axe murder. An Austrian killed other Austrians for selling war bonds because the United States was fighting Austria at that time. And so, you know, that's a low place to start from. But the bonds formed over time. You know, World War II, the highest volunteer rate in the nation was right here on the Iron Range. As sons and daughters of immigrants kicked into the war effort to prove their patriotism, to prove their loyalty to their new communities. And from there came, you know, the labor movement that had been struggling for the first half of the 20th century, finally won the overtime and 8-hour work days that we know today. And I actually have out here on stage Bill Law from Hibbing, and Bill was the one of the tour guides underground at the Sudan Underground Mine, the deepest mine in Minnesota, just this past summer. And Bill, I was talking to the other day, what was life like for those miners under the ground?
Well, Aaron Lake, a lot of Rangers, I'm tied to the mining through my family. My dad actually graduated right here from Eveleth High School many years ago. He grew up in Fayal location and out at Ely Lake. And I used to look at his high school yearbook, which in those days, the Eveleth yearbook was called the Carbide. And it referred to the lantern, the lamps that the miners wore on their hats. Canvas hats, of course, no hard hats in those early days. My grandpa worked here, the Fayal Spruce Mines underground. And he always told my dad that he loved his carbide lamp. And he didn't want to give it up when they changed technologies. And while I was down there working, a woman from Ely pulled me aside. And she told me that her husband said to her after he retired from the Pioneer Mine, another underground mine up in Ely, he said to her, honey, the reason I never let you go down and take a look in that mine is because if you would have seen it just once, you would have never let me go back in that hole again. And as she finished that sentence, I heard my dad's voice. I'd forgotten. He used to tell that story all the time. His dad said the same thing to my grandma when he retired. Someone commented once, you must all have all these great stories about your grandpa working underground in the mines. And I thought to myself, well, I've got three. The carbide light thing. He liked the 51 degrees underground versus working outside. And what he said to grandma when he retired, that she would have never let him go back down in that hole again. And I realized these guys, they didn't talk about what it was like down there. They didn't let their families know. They didn't want them to know. These were not pleasant places to work. It got me thinking. I asked why. Why then? Why come all the way across the ocean to work here, to work in this terrible, dirty, dangerous place? And through all the process of thinking about this, I really came to believe that it wasn't for themselves. It was for their children. So their children could have a better life than they had. You see, here you could get an education. That wasn't so over there. And so these folks came. I see Grandpa's work, and of course, Grandma's too. She wasn't working any less hard at home. I don't want to leave Grandma out of this. But I see the sacrifice in the mines and her sacrifice at home. The mines, dangerous, dirty, life-threatening, bad pay, ill treatment. They did these things so their children and grandchildren can have a better life. And you know what? It worked. Because I do have a better life because of the sacrifices they made.
Yeah, yeah, and I do too. I think everyone today in the Iron Range can look back to sacrifices like this. You were telling me about the music underground, and I'm really interested in that. Tell me what you were saying about that.
Yeah, well, of course, I wasn't there. So my dad, Slovenian, singing, talked about a cappella, 8-part all the time. They sang beautifully, and his favorite movie was How Green Is My Valley, which is about Welsh coal mining. But as the miners come down from the head framed into the town, they're singing, and he would just get tears in his eyes. He would just be crying because he just loved that. And I was thinking about life down in the mine and this kind of thing. And part of what we do with the visitors to get their heads around what it was like down there, because that's what we like to do, is not romanticize what happened down in these mines. When we go to the area where they did the digging of the ore, we show them these big holes in the floor to start with, where a miner could fall 30 to 150 feet. And we talk about all these other dangers and hazards that these miners face down there. Well, then we turn all the lights out, and they're in the dark. And I ask them, you know, how do you tell the Finnish guy, the new guy from Finland, look out for the big holes when you speak only Slovenian? You know, it just adds a little bit of extra danger to the situation. Lots of people. And I thought about the miners walking there. They walked in the dark. They came down in the dark. They moved in the dark. And this was because they got 5 candles at the beginning of their shift, but the company promptly deducted the cost from their pay. They paid for their dynamite, their blasting caps, their tools, all these things. So they walked in the dark, going down and walking down the drift. And I thought about these miners singing in the movie that my dad loved so much. So then I asked the visitors to imagine that your first day working in the mine. You've just arrived from the old country. You get in that cage for that longer than expected, bumpy, noisy ride down in the mine in the dark. You step out of the cage in the dark, and you follow the crowd, and you begin the long, dark walk down that drift for the very first time. And then you hear this. Greymoner Steyersko, Gleda kai delajo, Gleda kai delajo, Lubice tri, Perva mi estida, Druga mi pitida, Treja je Lubica, Mojga serca.
And then you know you're home. The music connects you in a way the language can't.
Yeah, and I think, you know, some of these guys were walking to their deaths, to be blunt, and so you sing, and you make the best of it.
Wow. Well, thank you, Bill. Thank you. Music has always played a big part of Range history. We'll show you some of that tonight, but Bob Dylan's from here. People seem to notice that, and you know, Bob Dylan's from over in Hibbing, and back in the late 50s when he was growing up, the big act you would have found here on the Iron Range was Johnny Cash, of course, was really big. That's right. And you know, you should know, you're in a special place. 55 years ago this winter, Johnny Cash played this stage. Yeah, I don't know if you knew that. Bob was more of a Little Richard guy, a blues guy. Didn't think much of Johnny Cash then. Thought he was just, kind of a novelty. But for Rangers, though, Cash was the closest thing to rock and roll you could find and be socially acceptable. And parents liked him. Kids liked him. And he was a big deal. And Dylan didn't care much for him, but he left quickly, as a lot of people did in those days. And Dylan, even though he went on to become famous, didn't quite shake the Range. You know, he came back in his music and in his later years, he's talked about it more. And he actually came to become a collaborator with Johnny Cash in the 60s as well. So things all connect. You know, the Range is not only a place of big music, but a place of big things, too. Big trucks, all those big equipment that you see around here. It's in Eveleth here. It's the home of the world's largest hockey stick and puck. Well, okay, all right. I don't know if everyone here knew this, but it's not actually the world's largest hockey stick or puck. There is a larger stick in Canada, but The thing is...
But everybody thought so.
But everybody thought so when we built it.
We're all in this together.
Yes, and so what we need to know here is that we could have built the world's largest hockey stick and puck had we had access to the Google at the time. We would have known these things. Up in Virginia, they do hold a record, though. There's a bird floating out on the lake. I don't know if they brought it in yet. I haven't gone up to see, but the loon sitting out on the lake there is technically the world's largest duck decoy. It's a loon, but it's shaped like a duck decoy, so they call it a duck decoy. And I can just imagine, you know, picture a young mallard flying over the lake and looking down and seeing that. And you can only imagine how appealing that loon would look to a young mallard.
I like big ducks and I cannot lie. When a hen walks in with an itty bitty thigh, that's when I cry. Baby got quack.
Oh. Well, we like big things around here. We like big ducks, big trucks, big hair, the mullet lives on, cliff diving off the big mine dumps into the big pits. Change is difficult, but when it happens, it's big.